Brother Ron Billy from the Barhead congregation will now develop the theme, What Must Be Kept in Second Place? Eating and Drinking.
As we wait for the wonderful future in store for us, it is Jehovah's will that we enjoy the good things that He gives us. So it is natural for us to engage in activities that bring us much pleasure, which includes eating and drinking. So with that in mind, let's consider question number one. Why does eating and drinking rightly have its place in our life? We want to get the Bible answer to that. So if you can turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we will find out very plainly that the Bible's answer is very clear. Ecclesiastes 3, let's take a look at verses 12 and 13. I have concluded there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good during their life. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and find enjoyment for all his hard work. It is the gift of God. So note verse 13. It mentions that everyone should eat and drink. Then it says it is a gift of God. So really, eating and drinking are gifts from Jehovah God. In fact, the psalmist also mentioned in Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15, that Jehovah has given vegetation for mankind's use and wine that makes man's heart rejoice. So Jehovah has given us food and drink not simply for our nourishment, but also for our enjoyment. The colors, the tastes, the textures, the aromas certainly bring a delight to our senses. Ever gone to a supermarket, superstore, going up and down the aisles? What a variety you see there. Certainly, Jehovah has been very generous. We have an abundance. So with that, let's consider question number two. How can we keep eating and drinking in its proper place? Well, because Jesus granted us an understanding of the sacred secrets of the kingdom, He set the perfect example in the area of food and drink. When Jesus was at a wedding in Cana, He allowed the guests to have fine wine because they ran out of the inferior wine. Jesus knew the difference between inferior and superior food and drink. At times, Jesus used food and drink as illustrations. He used the example of putting new wine into old wineskins. He mentioned bread from heaven, referring to a spiritual aspect, of course. So Jesus taught plainly that spiritual matters are of greatest importance. We, too, want to make sure that eating and drinking remain second to spiritual matters in our life. And to help us appreciate that, even the Apostle Paul mentions this. In Romans chapter 14, let's take a look at verse 17. Paul mentioning this, where he says, "For the kingdom of God does not mean eating and drinking, but means righteousness and peace and joy with Holy Spirit." So this kingdom of God must be kept in first place, which is in harmony with the theme of our assembly, keep seeking God's kingdom. And the fact that you brothers and sisters are here today, you are demonstrating that you are putting kingdom interests first. And you're all to be commended for respecting the guidelines given to us on eating and drinking. So with regard to eating and drinking, the issue is not always about our physical size or the amount we eat. The question is, how much does food mean to me? How much do I think about it? How much do I talk about it? How much do I center my life on earthly things? We must not allow alcohol to bring us under its control. In fact, in Proverbs 20, verse 1, it reminds us, wine is a ridiculer, alcohol is unruly. Whoever goes astray from them is not wise. But how can we determine if alcohol is causing us to go astray? The January 1st, 2010 Watchtower has a series of questions on page 8, two of which I listed. One, do I use alcohol to cope with stress to escape problems? Another question, has a friend or family member expressed concern about my drinking? Please note that alcohol could become a danger even if we do not drink to the point of drunkenness. So to help us visualize this, let us look at the following scene. A brother has come home after a long day at work.
Phew, what a day. I don't know how much longer I can put up with all those impatient, selfish clients. And the boss. How does he expect me to handle all those calls and get my other work done too? I've got to unwind, get my mind off that mess. Time for a nice cold one. Ah, I forgot. I finished the last of the beers yesterday. Oh well, there's still the cabinet. What? No more liquor? And don't tell me the wine's run out too. What am I going to do? I really need a drink. What's happening? Have I fallen into a pattern? Lately, every time I'm feeling stressed, I pour myself a drink. That's not right. I'm using alcohol as a crutch. There's got to be a better way. But what can I do? I can't completely avoid the stress. I just can't let it get to me so much. I need to pray more. And I need a different routine when I get home every day. I just can't let alcohol have this kind of grip on me. I need to break this pattern. I know. I'll go for a little walk when I get home. And then I'll get ready for whatever we're doing in the evening. I can do this. Jehovah will help me.
So may this scene help us to maintain a balanced view of eating and drinking. Our Heavenly Father wants only the best for us. He has provided many types of food for our enjoyment, and He does not prohibit the moderate use of alcohol. At the same time, He warns us of the danger of overdrinking and gluttony. In fact, in Proverbs 23, 20 and 21, it mentions in part, "Do not be among those who drink too much or gorge themselves on meat." So if we follow Jehovah's loving guidance in the matter of food and drink, we will enjoy life more and bring lasting benefits to ourselves.